Hello guys, Eugene Allen here, Blackspin Global. Hope you're doing well. It's been a minute guys, so apologies for the extended absence, but yeah, we're back. I hope you've been keeping tune with us on social media, so Twitter or X and Instagram, as we get into the full swing of things in North America. But yeah, before we kind of talk about North America, I do want to kind of speak about some of the events that we've had prior to Washington, and now obviously the Canadian Open. First off, Alicia Parks, she made a run to the quarterfinals in Greece, which is WTA 250 event, where she lost to the eventual runner-up, Maria Sakkari, in the quarterfinals there in straight sets. The following week, Parks had also played in the Czech Republic. That was the Prague Open, where she lost to Lucy Havlikova in the first round there. Good to see Parks kind of getting some matches in, obviously post-Wimbledon, where she reached the second round. She will also be in Toronto, which we'll come on to later on. So good to see her there. Her current ranking is 68 in the world, so some way off like her career high. But I'd say trending in the right direction. Like, you know, she's comfortably in the top 100. Obviously we all know she can, you know, she's got such a great game in terms of like potential to play on all surfaces. It's good to see her kind of get some wins, under her belt. And hopefully she could have a good hard court swing in North America. But another player I want to talk about is Noah Okogwe, the German 22-year-old, who's been doing a lot of winning on the ITF circuit in 2026. She's reached four finals and has three titles to her name on the ITF circuit. But you know, winning begets winning, and she's kind of been doing that or translating that form onto the main tour. She made the round of 16 in Hamburg, which is a WTA 250, and was literally 2 points away from winning that round of 16 match against Anna Bondar, the eventual champion, actually. It was good to see kind of a Kogure, I guess, persevere and like stay quite resilient until the end of that match. She was very unlucky that she didn't win. That run and also, you know, the kind of form that she's kind of been building for the rest of this year or since the start of this year, has seen her rise to a career high 137 in the world rankings. So yeah, good to see her kind of reach new heights. She's only a few spots, I say a few, she's 37 spots off breaking the top 100 for the first time. So, you know, that's kind of good going for the 22-year-old. And again, I think she's a player that could also do a lot of damage, like on the hard courts. I would not be surprised to see her crack the top 100 towards the end of this year, or before the end of this year, I'll say. So, yeah, good to see Noah Okogwe doing well and kind of translating that ICF form onto the WTA tour. DC Open, where to start? Probably one of the most popular tournaments like on the tour, both WTA and ATP. Obviously it's a combined event. I believe the only combined WTA ATP 500 level event currently on the tour. So again, I think it's always nice to see when players from both tours are like playing, you know, at the same spot. Gives it that kind of like Grand Slam feel. DC being a 500, like it's obviously just two spots below a Grand Slam. So you're always going to kind of attract, or always does attract, like kind of big names in both draws. This year especially, the men's draw was super stacked because it was... They went down from a 48-player draw to a 32-player draw. So there were a lot of like blockbuster, like first round matchups, which we'll talk about in a sec. But as we record this, actually, it's a Monday, so the final was due to be played on Sunday, but due to persistent rain, it got pushed over to the next day. So we've got Jessica Pegula, the third seed, I believe. Well, no, sorry, she's the top seed. So she'll be playing, or she is playing, sorry, Alexandra Ayala in that final. Pegula is a setup, and I believe it's 2-1 in the second set. So yeah, that will resume on Monday. And then in the men's final, it's Taylor Fritz, the third seed, taking on Rafael Jara, the Spaniard, who again has been doing a lot of winning this year, like on his kind of main tour debut season. So yeah, that should be a very, very good final. But I think with DC, there's kind of this year anyway, it was super special just because of the I am gonna say Naomi Osaka kind of finding her form on the court, but also what she was doing away from the court. So yeah, she had a cookout. And I mean there's been so many clips on social media, like people that were there, which is amazing, like sharing the kind of content they recorded from the day. And also like kind of showed us Osaka like in a different light. Oh, I want to shout out Racket Fury because they had an exclusive with Osaka on the day of the cookout. So it was Evan Cole. Yeah, basically he was with Osaka on the way to the grounds on the day of the cookout, and she explained, you know, why she kind of came up with the idea, and basically why Washington or DC is so special to her in terms of, you know, the event and like the makeup of the people, because we've heard it a lot as well in terms of like DC being different to like a lot of the tour events like on the calendar, and it's an event that I definitely want to go to at some point, hopefully next year actually. So yeah, hopefully we can make that happen next year before the US Open. But yeah, I suggest if you haven't seen that already, like you do go and check out the interview that Osaka did with Racket Fury, because yeah, she just basically broke down that, you know, there's not that much diversity on the tour, but in DC, like she felt very welcome because there were so many like black women coming up to her, like just, you know, giving her encouragement and just like wanting to just speak to her, and she just said she felt the kind of warmth and love from them, which prompted her to, you know, want to do the cookout. So yeah, and again, it was well attended. I think she spent over like an hour, you know, actually at the event, like talking to fans and like, you know, just basically sharing her time. And this is before her match the following day. So yeah, big shout out to Osaka for like doing that and like taking the time out to, you know, speak to the fans and like connect with the people, because you don't really get that at all, really. Like, definitely like not at the Grand Slams and like even the smaller events. So yeah, big salute to Osaka and the Washington Open as well for like making that happen, because yeah, that's gonna live long in the memories of the people that were there. And also, yeah, maybe that's gonna be a thing now in terms of other events. Like we'll start to see more kind of pop-up style, yeah, like pop-up style events, like, you know, at various tournaments like throughout the year. So yeah, big shout out to Osaka and the DC Open crew there. On the court, I mean, again, they were kind of alluded to earlier, like there were upsets galore like in the men's draw. So yeah, as it was so stacked, I mean, we had Francis Tiafoe, the sixth seed, obviously a Washington native as well. He went out in the first round to Terence Atman, the Frenchman. Arthur Fils as well, he also went out in the first round to Hodar, the now finalist. And then there was also last year's semi-finalist, Ben Shelton, who was I think he was the second seed this year. Made a run to the quarterfinals before basically being taken out by Alejandro Tabilo of Chile. So, some like big names there. And like I said, the final is going to be Fritz Hodar. So yeah, one to look out for, and kind of a nice kind of warm up or taster for, you know, what's ahead during this North American hard court swing. And then in the women's draw, like I said, Osaka, she did make a run to the semi-finals. She did get a bye in the first round as a seed. So she took out Ashton Kruger, Kruger retired actually in the second set due to a foot injury, I believe it was. But Osaka was leading that match 6-3, 6-3, 3-1 before Kruger retired. And then Osaka kind of showed some grit to get through the quarterfinal against Elisabetta Cottarelletto of Italy in three sets before, yeah, basically being taken out by Alexandra Yala in the semi-final in straight sets. I'll be honest, I didn't watch that match because I was actually out, but from the highlights that I saw, Yala played very well and has been playing pretty well all week, to be fair. But just on Osaka, I think this is kind of good preparation for the hard court swing. Obviously, she's got some points to defend at the Toronto Open as well, because she did make the final last year. So yeah, but I feel like she's kind of played her way in into form. And obviously, this was also her first event since Wimbledon. So yeah, I mean, pretty good going to reach the semi-finals. You know, of your first event since, you know, taking some time out and obviously transitioning as well from the grass to the hard courts. So yeah, good going for Osaka. On the men's side, like I said, we've kind of covered that now, and obviously the cookout too. So with that, now the North American hard court swing moves over to Canada and the Canadian Open. So the women are in Toronto, and the men are in Montreal. We'll start with the women. So Coco Gauff is the fourth seed, Osaka the 11th seed, Madison Keys the 19th seed. So Gauff, as seeds actually, they all get first round byes. So Gauff will play either Diane Parry or Kayla Day in the second round. Osaka will play either Ivelisse or Pana Udvardi in the second round. And Madison Keys will play either Louise Boisson or Antonia Rusic in round two. So yeah, look out for those matchups in the second round. But in the first round, we have Parks, who will be playing Victoria Jimenez Katsantseva of, I want to say, Moldova, I want to say. But yeah, that's the first round match. And then we have Taylor Townsend as well, and also Sloane Stephens. So they'll also be in action in round one. We did have Venus Williams. She played on day one. So she played on Sunday, lost to Kamila Rakhimova in straight sets. But yeah, there's quite a few kind of players to kind of keep an eye out, or keep an eye on even, in Toronto. And I want to shout out Sloane Stephens as well, actually, because she came through qualifying. So obviously the ranking isn't where it used to be. I think she's like down in the 300s. Obviously a former world number three there, and obviously a Grand Slam winner as well. So it's good to see states like Sloane kind of, yeah, like just basically playing her way back in. And like, yeah, I guess it must be quite humbling to like go from, you know, winning Grand Slams and being a, you know, top five player for a lot of your career, and then, you know, now you're playing qualifying like for some of these events. So yeah, it's good to see. You know, I do salute Sloane for doing that, and yeah, always nice to see her on court. So the men's side, like I said, we've got Felix Auger-Aliassime, who is the second seed. Home favourite, obviously, being a Canada boy. And this will be his first event as well since Wimbledon. So he'll play either Luca Van Ash or Tition Drogay of France in round two. The defending champion, Ben Shelton, he's seeded fifth this year. So he'll face either Jensen Brooksby or Adam Wharton in round two. 15th seed TFO. It will take on either Marin Cilic or Sho Shimbakaru in round two. And Feast, the 18th seed this year, will take on either Denis Shapovalov or Zachary Javdar of the United States in round two. And then, yeah, first round, we've got, so yeah, Gabriel Diallo, the Canadian wild card, rightly so, another home hope. He'll take on Kyrian Jacquet in round one. Gael Monfils as well, playing his final Montreal event. Also been awarded a wild card this year. He'll take on Kamil Majerak of Poland. Giovanni Pecci-Pericard, he'll take on Botic van der Zandloop of the Netherlands in round one. So, yeah, a lot of names to look out for, a lot of matches to kind of keep an eye on, which we'll be doing, obviously, on the social. So make sure you're kind of, yeah, in touch there. But yeah, some names that won't be in action this week, we haven't seen actually for a while. So defending champion, the Canadian number one, Victoria Mboko, unfortunately, is basically not playing, or she won't be defending her title due to the injury she sustained, or that knee injury she sustained at Queen's back in June. Believe it's an MCL, so quite serious. And also the 19-year-old, she wasn't on the US Open entry list as well, so we could only assume she won't be playing the US Open as well. I'm just going to say that she's probably going to take the year out, which I think is probably a good idea. I mean, she's 19, she's got, you know, her whole career like ahead of her. There's no need to like rush back to like kind of play or defend points. The ranking will take a hit, definitely, but I don't think that's anything to kind of worry about. I think she's shown that she has the abilities to kind of compete at the highest level. And I do believe like she's, her and her team, they're basically taking the best or the right steps in kind of just easing or slowly, you know, coming back and giving her the best opportunity to fully like recover and return to being, you know, the best athlete she can be. So obviously it's sad not to see her in action, but I think they're making the right decision by not playing or coming back too early. Another player who won't be in action, or we haven't seen since Wimbledon actually, is Jasmine Paolini, the Italian number one. So she also announced that she'll be sitting out Washington and Toronto to give her foot some extra time to rest. Obviously that foot injury has been kind of been plaguing her like for a few months, basically the whole year, to be completely honest. And again, I feel like it's probably the right choice to kind of, you know, give yourself some extra time to, you know, heal up and just be in the best kind of possible shape you can be in. So Paolini, she is actually on the Cincinnati entry list. So obviously Cincinnati literally takes place straight after Toronto for the women. So we do expect to see Paolini in Cincinnati, but yeah, she won't be competing at the Canadian Open. So yeah, guys, that pretty much wraps up this little kind of, I guess, recap of like what's gone on since, I guess, I've been off air. But obviously, like I said, there's been, you know, we've been active on social media. So yeah, please do keep following us on Twitter, Instagram, or X even, and Instagram. And yeah, I will be doing more kind of recaps. Now we're kind of in the full swing of being in North America now. So yeah, I believe obviously the Canadian Open, once the Canadian Open is finished, it's straight into Cincinnati. And then after Cincinnati, obviously it's the US Open. So yeah, obviously tennis does not stop, as we've long established. But yeah, there's a lot of tennis to kind of keep us busy for the next couple of weeks. So yeah, guys, hope you enjoy all the tennis. And yeah, look forward to catching up with you again after the Toronto Open, or after the Canadian Open even. So yeah, guys, hope you enjoy the tennis, and I look forward to catching up with you after the Canadian Open, as we head into Cincinnati. So yeah, guys, until next time, take care.